welcome to Terra Verde on KPFA. Here's today's host, Gary Hughes.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, KPFA listeners. Hello, and welcome to Terra Verde, your weekly KPFA environmental public affairs radio show. I'm your host today, Gary Hughes, and today, in an ongoing effort to respect and protect the KPFA team that is holding down the fort, as it were, at the KPFA studio, I'm again hosting today's show remotely. I'm working from my computer today, even though I love being in the KPFA studio, making live independent community radio a reality. We are adapting to the current situation, and we must still work to keep crucial information flowing. I want to offer special thanks to our engineer, Mike Cohn, and all the KPFA staff that are making this unique programming possible. And I want to offer a special thanks to KPFA listeners for your patience as we work with the remote broadcasting practices. We are eager at this unique moment to continue to bring KPFA listeners the quality independent programming that makes our media efforts so valuable to our community. To do so under the current circumstances requires some experimentation. Thank you for sticking with us. Today's show is well worth tuning in for, as I have two guests from Mendocino County lined up to speak with us about the health threats their community is facing from the surreptitious installation in their community just north of Ukiah of a wood pellet manufacturing plant belonging to Mendocino Forest Products of Mendocino Redwood Company, Sister Timberlands Management Company to Humboldt Redwood Company, whose majority stake owners are the Fisher family of San Francisco, who are the founders and owners of the Gap Empire. We will hear from Polly Gervin and Mariah Gillardine, two very experienced advocates with decades of work for civil and indigenous rights and the protection of the environment, who are both members of the place-based affinity group Alliance for Social, Environmental, and Indigenous Justice, which was founded as a community response to the massive Caltrans boondoggle of the Highway 101 Willits Bypass Project. Polly and Mariah have tremendous experience on the North Coast and around the world. This is going to be a great show, and I am excited for listeners to learn about the serious public health situation with a new wood pellet fuel plant in Mendocino County. First, though, before we get really started, as a sincere show opening tradition, I am motivated to communicate to listeners once again that those of us in the Terra Verde Collective are very appreciative and thankful for all of the listener support for KPFA in early 2020, most especially during the last fund drive. Thank you for your support. On behalf of our entire collective of Terra Verde program hosts, I want to say thank you to all of the KPFA staff and volunteers that make it possible for Terra Verde to be on the air on a weekly basis, most especially in these conditions with our current experiment with remote hosting. On Terra Verde, our team will continue to work hard bringing listeners news and insights about environmental protection and related social justice issues in the San Francisco Bay Area, across the state and nation, and indeed around the world. We truly believe in the power of independent community radio, and we know you do too. For those of you who perhaps did not contribute during the last fund drive, please do be sure to take advantage of the easy options for donating and supporting KPFA radio by going to kpfa.org and following the donate button at the top of the page. Remember, community radio truly gets the goods now more than ever. With incredible gratitude to everyone who's tuned into Terra Verde here on KPFA, I'm very honored to turn our attention to our guests today, Polly Gervin and Mariah Gillardine from Mendocino County. Hello, Polly, and hello, Mariah. Thanks so much for joining us today on KPFA. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. Go ahead, Mariah.
We're doing well. We're sort of privileged to live in a county where there's a lot of space around all of us. And how are you, Gary, in the parking lot of KMUD?
Yes, I'm here. Very appreciative, Mariah, of you joining us, and Polly, you're here as well. There's so much for us to cover. Let's go ahead and get going with the show. I think instead of myself introducing the two of you, it would be really great for listeners to get a thorough introduction from yourselves about your backgrounds and the experiences that have brought you to this moment where you're on KPFA, trying to let listeners know about this new industrial threat to your community's health. So thank you so much for joining us today, Mariah and Polly. This is a really exciting opportunity.
Well, Polly, thank you, too, Gary.
Because your story is more interesting. Go for
I'm not so sure. I find you fascinating and quite brilliant. I am broadcasting, I guess, from the Coyote Valley Reservation, about 15 miles north of Ukiah. In Redwood Valley, we have closed the exterior borders of our reservation and are only allowing non-residents in for the protection of our elders and our community. So we've had to take a nationhood step and secure our borders. So it's an interesting time, but I guess activists just keep on rolling on. So thank you for the opportunity. I am a kid from Berkeley. Hello, Berkeley. From John Muir Elementary to Berkeley High School, I was raised with great moral foundations by a lefty mother, Chicana civil rights activist. I'd never really had to rebel because I was raised so well in Berkeley. I was able to, in my life, as a young Chicana, participate with Cesar Chavez on the creating pickets at Safeways with Los Siete de la Raza in the San Francisco Mission District, with the Brown Berets, with my classmates at Berkeley High School in the 12th grade. We sat in at the Oakland Induction Center, locking the doors in support of the ending of that war. So I was raised in the turbulent 60s, went on, as Herbert Marcuse told us to take the long march through the institutions, really get our degrees, learn technically how to take on the advanced capitalist system. So that's what I did. I sacrificed myself. I went to Berkeley, Cal Berkeley. I went to Columbia Law School back east, all to gain entree into how the dominant culture ran the world. And so I was lucky to be a human rights fellow at Columbia and work with the NAACP. And from those days of social justice activism, I then found myself going into corporate law to see how international corporate structures work. I worked with the Democratic Party on campaigns to see how they played the game. But I ultimately ended up deciding that I didn't want to make rich people richer, more powerful people more powerful, and just ended up being the kid from Berkeley I was, and ended up leaving corporate international law after an Ivy League education to work with Indians, join California Indian Legal Services, and my entire life changed by working with the tribes of Humboldt County, the Karuk, the Yurok. I would be thinking of my friends commuting to Wall Street on the subway while I was commuting to Happy Camp to help the Karuk write their first tribal constitution. So that's my background. It's a blend of indigenous and social justice activism. Found myself doing Indian law in Mendocino County, marrying into a tribe, and in the past several years in Mendocino, I went between environmental activism and tribal sovereignty activism. So I'm a blend, I would say, of both. And I'm so fortunate to live in a county with 10 tribes thriving and asserting their sovereignty, and also in a county with some very, very strong environmentalists. We're ideally suited to take on this challenge. That's me. Mariah, what about you?
It's a really short one. I was right to your story. Truly amazing. My short one is that right now I'm really happy and emotional about being back on KPFA, because I used to work there as staff and as programmer in the 80s and early 90s. And I heard Eileen's voice a little earlier, because she was my teacher in the news department in the 80s. After leaving KPFA, I helped co-found Making Contact. And then for almost 10 years I worked with the International Forum on Globalization. And I had one issue only, globalization, which encompasses about anything you could wish to talk about, from climate to trade to war and peace, etc. And all the while, I was and remained a journalist and radio producer. And I also worked with Helen Caldicott on nuclear issues, nuclear weapons and power. And now, since 1992, I've been producing a weekly public affairs program, half an hour, on climate change, still on globalization, and very interested in industrial technologies, from internet to industrial forest and industrial agriculture. And as often as I could these years, I visited or covered issues of native nations. And I've lived in Mendocino now for 20 years, way off the paved road in a handmade straw bale house, and connected with Pali and the Coyote Valley tribe around, as you, Gary, already mentioned, around the building of the Willits Bypass. Back to you, Gary.
Well, I mean, I'm really honored to be doing some radio on KPFA with the both of you. Thank you for joining us on Terra Verde. And now, you know, it's really important, I think, that listeners have a thorough understanding of your background as we delve in now to the main issue that I wanted to make sure that KPFA listeners were learning about. And this is this new wood pellet fuel plant that was installed by the Mendocino Forest Products Company. So, you know, listening to KPFA Terra Verde, listeners, you know, get a chance to hear from news from around the Bay and all around the state. But let's really, Polly, maybe you'd be best to tell us about how it is that you became aware all of a sudden that there was a new industrial threat to the health of people in your community.
Well, I have been a resident of the Coyote Valley. I have lived inland in a little 250 town, people town on the coast called Elk. But I moved because of my practice, because of representing tribes. I moved inland and live on the Coyote Valley Reservation. And I take a road down to the freeway. And at first there was this thing that looked like a still coming out of the ground, a little pipe, belching up some smoke sometimes, a little bit of wood chips underneath this tented area. And it went on like that for a while. And then all of a sudden there was this exponential boom. There were mountains of plastic bags filled with wood pellets. It was going night and day, this smokestack, belching out huge clouds. The one time I noticed that it was very rancid and it stank, and it was going down the valley towards Ukiah. Well, down, going south from the plant are okay through 12 private school, an elementary school, a residential neighborhood of low to moderate income, mostly Hispanic people. One block away is a tribal health clinic that services 10 tribes. And a little bit up the road is the Coyote Valley Reservation. So my great-grandchildren go to the Calpella Elementary School, and I just saw this hideous stack of smoke going down that way, and I just, as a citizen, became alarmed and phoned our air quality management district. They were pretty hard to communicate with at first, but they supplied me with enough information to know that for the first 3 years of operation, this plant was unable to meet the permit conditions, the permissible particulate matter 2 pollution, and had tried a hammer mill installation, had tried various techniques, and we're now looking at some software. But the 2.5 pollution, the particulate matter pollution emitted from this smokestack, is seriously dangerous to young children. and to people with lung diseases or asthma or compromised health. So how they could locate a wood pellet mill one block away from tribal clinic, three blocks away from elementary school, at the at the intersection of two highways, Highway 20 and Highway 101, where the emission pollution is already bad. Well, it was a mystery to me. And I'm not a particulate matter expert. I am a tribal sovereignty defense, Indian child welfare, treaty rights, water rights. I could go down a whole list of issues I'm comfortable with and have some expertise in. But I just phoned in as a citizen, and I just happened to be a resident of a nearby reservation. And I want to tell you, as I waged my outreach work on trying to educate myself as well as the community, we have a large united front of concerned citizens that I've been able to reach out to. And it's once again this a great coalition, I find, which SAGE, the Social, Environmental, and Indigenous Justice group I am in, promote. And it is the seeking leadership from tribes on environmental activist issues, since they and their ancestors are the guardians of this, our Mendocino County territory. And in deference to them and in deference to their territorial sovereignty here, I'm so glad that the first group I reached out to educate was the Intertribal Sinkione Wilderness Council, which is comprised of tribal delegates from our 10 local tribes. And they also are environmental activists. They have a 3,900-acre wilderness park they manage, that they bought and manage on the Lost Coast, and it's on in a permanent wilderness easement. So they are indigenous environmentalists. They immediately, upon being apprised of the situation, have endorsed a resolution of objection to this plant, because their 10-member tribes do go to that clinic, and they too have children that go to the local school. So starting with the Sinkione, we got their support, and then Coyote Valley has been supporting us in the investigation of this matter. That's the most nearby tribe. And then we have local non-citizens, such as the Climate Action Group in Ukiah, who've taken a very active role, the Mendocino Environmental Center, the Willits Environmental Center. So I think we're laying the groundwork for a good challenge.
All right, folks, you're tuned in to Terra Verde on KPFA. This is 94.1 FM. I'm your host, Gary Hughes, and you've been hearing from Polly Gervin. And as well on the show with us today is Mariah Gillardine. And we've been speaking about community response to a public health threat of unexpected wood pellet manufacturing plant owned by Mendocino Forest Products in Mendocino County. And Mariah, perhaps you can speak a little bit more to the dynamics that Polly was describing about the united front that's growing and how the community is getting motivated, being attentive to how quickly the show can go. Can we also hear from you a little bit about how listeners might get an idea about how to track this in the future and to stay involved? Do you have some insights about organizing and how this coalition is building?
Yes, let me just extend the list of thank yous for a little bit. When we reached out to understand what exactly is happening environmental-wise coming out of a pellet plant, we reached out to Green Action and ended up with a long and really amazing, scary list of pollutants coming out of the pellet plant. When Polly and I brought up the question, what's going on there informally with the supervisors at supervisor meetings or city council people, what we heard at first is, pellets are just a wonderful use of stuff that ends up on the forest floor and in milling operations, and it's so great, it's so green to bake little pellets out of them and feed them into wood stoves of little old ladies who are can't chop wood. So it was literally on that level that it was being defended. And amazingly, the one supervisor who later turned out through police detective work what had actually occurred to allow this construction of this $1 million pallet making plant to go forward, even he said, but you know, it's a green thing and it creates jobs. So what Polly was really instrumental in and was helped from our little affinity group was to then make a formal California records request with the air quality control management here, with the supervisors who were now supposed to tell us really what went on when this was approved in 2017. And there again, the Coyote Valley Band of Pomo Indians helped underwrite or, you know, helped sign on to this record request. And
it was Priscilla Hunter.
Talk a little bit
about. It was Priscilla Hunter, an elder of the Coyote Valley Band of Pomo Indians, who submitted an extensive public records request because we can only rely on the Air Quality Management District and the permit that attaches to this, it would appear. Because under our zoning code, we have found that all forest production and processing is exempted from acquiring a minor use or a major permit use permit, which triggers environmental review. This plant, which is going to produce 1.5 million to 1.7 million 40-pound bags of pellet each year, which is 30 to 35,000 tons annually, did not have to have this project submitted to any environmental review. No, the neighborhood, nobody was informed that this even had to go up because one supervisor and a county administrator and her assistant determined that, quote, the project will have no adverse impact on the environment and therefore no further requirements under the Mendocino County Code. The Planning and Building Department determined that there wasn't any potential of significant environmental impact that might result from the pellet facility. And our and as I said, the zoning ordinance exempts all forest production and processing of all types from any plants that do that or mills that do that from any environmental review. So you can see the timber company had big sway in 1987 when the zoning code was made. So we're up against the timber company, the bureaucracy of our planning commission, a fairly, it would have seemed to me, a negligent, possibly very negligent, air quality district and California Air Resource Board. And we thankfully do have the assistance of Green Action of San Francisco that is familiar with particulate matter emission pollution litigation.
All right. This is a really exciting Terra Verde program here on KPFA. Again, my name is Gary Hughes, and we're hearing from Polly Gervin and Mariah Gillardine coming to us from Mendocino County. And we're coming up pretty quick on the end of the show. We have 3 minutes or so left. Mariah, maybe you can still check in really quick with us. Do you have any suggestions for listeners about how to try to keep in tune with the coalition that's coming together on getting some justice around this outrageous installation of this industrial facility without any environmental review in your communities?
Actually, I believe Polly was even going to offer her phone number.
I was going to offer
Polly?
A contact number. Yes. You can contact me. Contact Polly Gervin, 707-485-2604, or Polly Gervin, P-O-L-L-Y, Gervin, G-I-R-V-I-N, gmail.com.
Yes. All right. Well, that's very generous, Polly.
To add to it, too, is when I first found out about what was being produced, I was reminded of my European climate change activist contacts who have dealt with the end stage of the pellet production, who have dealt with the increasing number of pellet plant-driven power plants, electric power plants, and the outrageous conversion of coal-fired power plants need almost nothing at all to begin burning wood. And I know, Gary, through Biofuel Watch, you're really, really involved in these issues, that there is now, in a time of climate change, an urgent need to reduce emissions, that under the IPCC and under BECCS and under the agreement, the Paris Agreement on climate change, that it is not only allowed to burn biofuel or wood pellets, but it is encouraged. And these corporations that do it draw huge subsidies from their national taxpayers, and they get promoted industrial-wide. And there are now biofuel power plants going up, even on the West Coast. They are already thick and all widespread through the South and Southeast. And ships are leaving the ports of Baton Rouge and Charlottesville to bring wood pellets to Europe, where they are being burned.
Yes, it's true.
Oh, yeah,
that
I want to emphasize that connection. There is a connection between all these pecker poles between here and Scotia and all the wood decks, all these little teeny trees they're cutting down. They're doing it for wood pellet. It's the last rape of the forest. We protected the old growth, but now they're going for the small stuff. And our Indian hunters have seen this from here to the coast. It says what they're calling thinning for fire safety and restoration is really clear cutting of the small trees. So there's a two-pronged thing here. We're being poisoned, and the last small trees are being massacred.
It's so important to have had the two of you on this show today, Terra Verde on KPFA, to really draw attention to this issue, to the physical plant, the industrial public threat to people's health, and then the relation with the abuse of our forests here in the state. That does bring us to the end of our Terra Verde program for today. I want to thank everyone who tuned in. I want to send a big thanks and a giant hug to Polly Gervin and Mariah Gillardine for joining us today from Mendocino County. It's been amazing to have you with us on the show. Thank you so much for being a part of this very unique, remotely hosted edition of KPFA's Terra Verde. I also need to give a special thanks to Mike Cohn, our engineer, and without whom this unique KPFA program simply would not be possible. The specific edition of KPFA Terra Verde was also supported technically by KMUD, Redwood Community Radio on the north coast of California. Thank you, KMUD. Community radio is indispensable. Remember, you can listen to the archives of Terra Verde and other programs on kpfa.org. We hope you join us next week at 2 p.m. for Terra Verde. Until then, stay safe, take care of each other, be kind to yourself, and stand firm.
If you are feeling isolated and you would like some emotional support, the Mental Health Association of San Francisco is running a non-emergency emotional support warm line. They've got people who are available to talk with you over instant message or over the phone. That number is 855-845-7415. And that is available to people anywhere in California. Again, that is the non-emergency emotional support warm line at 855-845-7415. The National Suicide Prevention Hotline, which is an emergency number, is at 1-800-273-8255. Remember to be kind to each other and to be kind to yourself.